As hard as this might be to understand, even by those of us who know the Lord, this is a time of celebration. Our brother has graduated. He is at home. He's at peace. So we're here to celebrate. And with that in mind, we're going to give you an opportunity to share some of your favorite stories about Chris. A little bit later on, the mic is going to be moved out, and we're going to have Lucky and Amanda. They're going to come up and start us. And if you have something that you'd like to share, we'd ask that you go ahead and get in line. Now, we can't do this all night, okay? So some of you are going to have to just write them out on a piece of paper, if you would. And there's a box in the atrium that you can put them in there so that Kelly might be able to share with the kids as time goes on some of the stories that we appreciate so much about our brother Chris. So with that in mind, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because today we know that if it wasn't for him, our sorrow would be like everyone else's. We thank you that we have a hope, and that hope is sure. We thank you not just for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to pay for the sins of the world, but we thank you that in finishing that work, having been buried, he rose again. Father, we thank you that he's alive today and that we have a hope that someday soon, he's coming back. And those that are dead in Christ will be brought from the graves, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to be with him in the Lord, in the air, and forevermore be with him. Thank you so much that we do not sorrow like the world. Thank you for this opportunity to remember our brother. And we ask that as we do this, that we might be reminded not only of your grace, but the wonderful sanctifying work that you have performed in his life and that you're performing in ours. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Dave?
The inerrant and sufficient Word of God says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you."
Give me some time. I know. A part of me was missing today when I was coming here. There's one thing when I, you know, we moved to Kansas City about 6 months ago. And there's one thing I always, there's many things I could count on when I came here, but there was one thing that I could always be assured to get when Chris was here. It was one of those big bear hugs. He'd come up and just hug me. Chris Wright was like a son to me. I got to know Chris when we moved here in 1990 and began attending Edgemont. I coached him a little bit in basketball and played some games with him in the league and against him in some pickup games. I also had the great opportunity to spend much time with Chris on 4 short-term mission trips, as well as spending more time with him when he would take care of the renovation and maintenance of Brooks Bible Institute when I worked there. Whenever the opportunity for a short-term mission trip was presented, Chris was the first to volunteer, which showed his humble, willing, and friendly servant attitude. Chris was always there for that. Chiapas, Mexico, New Orleans, Monterey, Europe, wherever we were going to have one, Chris was willing to go. While driving back from Monterey one time, I was reading the USA Today newspaper. Chris asked me how the Cardinals did the previous night. I said, "Who?" He said, "The Cardinals." I said, "Who's that?" And he goes, "The baseball Cardinals." So I looked at Chris and just started laughing because he knew what I was talking about. In addition to talking about baseball, we discussed basketball, church, life, family, and scripture. In fact, on one trip, we discussed the idea of a home mission trip. Don't go anywhere, but take that week to serve the people of Edgemont. The week we did, that started as an idea from Chris while we were driving back from Monterey, Mexico. That was his idea to do that. Why go somewhere? We got people here that have a need. So we set aside a week to do that. We chatted about family and life, disciplining children, work, and making time for our wives, which, as you husbands know, can be very difficult, but we need to do that. The trip that sticks out in my mind is the one the last one we took. We went to Barcelona in Germany. During that particular trip, I was challenging my prayer life and was sharing that with Chris. And we discussed prayer in the Bible, especially Christ spending all night in prayer. Now think about that, spending all night in prayer. Chris and I talked about how difficult that could be for us to do that. But Christ set the example, and that's something that we're going to strive to do. And the same trip as we were returning from purchasing Harley gifts that Chris purchased for his family and friends back here, whenever you buy a Harley t-shirt, it's got that city on the back. And Chris wanted to go to Augsburg, Germany to get a t-shirt because he wanted to bring that back and show them. It was a cool, rainy day, and we both said a cup of coffee would be very, very good. We started looking for a McDonald's. We both laughed, as at that time, back here in the States, we couldn't make that statement. Okay, no one would want to go at that time to McDonald's for coffee. But we were looking for one at that time. It was during this trip on our return to Barcelona with Dan and Amy Portugal we became lost, and Chris and I became a little agitated. Going, where are they gone? I can't believe this. They missed the turn. All of a sudden, from the rear of the car, we heard two ladies that were singing. And they were singing TV theme songs. Remember that? So all of a sudden, Chris and I started joining in, and of course I can't sing, but we started joining in, and that just diffused the situation. I think our wives were back there conspiring against us. But it worked. But also during this trip, you could see a renewed interest in spiritual matters with Chris. In his early 20s, Chris entered the Army, and having a renewed interest in spiritual matters was the furthest thing from his mind. In fact, I want to read one verse in Proverbs. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. That was Chris at that time. He was filled with his own ways. He came back, he got a renewed interest in Christ, and was filled with the Spirit above. When Chris returned from the Army, Edgemont still showed him God's love, and it was a matter of time before the Holy Spirit performed a mighty work in his life. In the time I spent with Chris, he mightily loved Kelly, Deacon, Charlotte, Colton, Daphne, and Knox, Dad, Mom, Amanda, Josh, Caleb, Zach, Allie, his in-laws, as well as his nieces and nephews. But most of all, he loved the Lord. At one time, his treasure was himself, but I saw him transform to have a heart that was attuned to God.
I've been amazed by the number of you who have said that he was a brother to you, a big brother, or a little brother. He was my brother. When Mother and Dad brought me home from the hospital, they were worried about how he would transition into being an older brother because, you know, parents worry about their firstborn like they don't worry about the rest of the kids. Just saying. But he climbed right over Mother and he said, "Where's my baby?" And so from the very beginning, I always felt like I had his heart and he had mine. But you know, if you know Krister and if you remember back then, there were always girls coming around who wanted a piece of his heart. And if you know me, you know how I felt about them. Huh. Keep on trucking, sister. There is no room for you here. He always saw the good in people. He didn't recognize that people could be jerks. And I always felt like I had to protect him from the jerks. And I wasn't scared to. You know that's true. But I never had to protect him from you. And if I had to share his heart with anyone, I am so glad it was you. Because you loved him so hard. And you honored him and you respected him. And you made him so happy. And I already loved you, but I love you more today because of that. Like the scripture said, Krister's days were laid out for him before he was born. And I've heard people say that he was snatched too soon, but that's not how it was. Because he was absolutely indestructible until God said otherwise. And that motorcycle was just the tool that God used to bring him home. It would not have mattered where he was or what he was doing. God was going to call him. And he was going to go as soon as he heard his shepherd's voice. He was going to obey. And when Jesus called him, you know he went running with a grin on his face. And can you imagine the hug he gave Jesus? Not very long ago, he sent me this text. Living life in fear, I've been doing the same thing. God has brought it to my attention. Whether it's something happening to the kids, Kelly, family, me, you just can't depend fully on God in this state of mind. Every event that happens in our lives is meant to bring our faith in line with God's purpose for our lives, to seek Him, to bring glory to Him. They are just the instruments God is using in your life to bring your trust completely on Him. I will be praying. I want awesome things for you. I love you. There is no fear, just faith. There's not time to do anything else other than live in faith. And you and me, we're the same. We are indestructible. until God says otherwise. So we might as well walk in faith and speak in faith and love people in faith and let our lives scream Jesus. Oh, Rooster, I've always been so very proud of you. And so very, very proud to be your sister. And I have always wanted awesome things for you. And it makes me so glad to say that today you have the most awesome thing ever. And I'm going to come see you here in a little bit. But I love you.
Good, we got almost, thought we had one. If anyone else would like to, now's the time. If you hesitate, you're going to miss out. So come on up. Uno, dos.
I really wasn't planning on doing this because my husband spoke, but Chris was like a son to us. And Kelly, we had so much fun when we went to Germany and Spain, and God was so good at using you and Chris on the field there and encouraging those missionaries and those children. And they'll never forget that, because those children that came together at the European Conference look forward to that so much all year. We heard the Portugal children say, I can't wait for the conference. I can't wait for the conference. And they prepared all year to be with their friends at that conference. And we were just so blessed to know Chris and blessed to know you, Kelly, and the children. And we are so thankful that God gave you guys to us to love you and will continue to love you and lift you up in prayer. And one thing about Chris that I keep remembering, driving through Germany, he looked out the window and he goes, oh, it's just like a calendar. Everywhere you look, it's a calendar. Kelly, get your nose out of that book. Look, it's a calendar. And he was just so precious, and I'm just so thankful.
I spent several years with my family living overseas. I didn't go to school when I was over there. I homeschooled. So I didn't have a lot of interaction. I didn't understand how to interact with children my own age. When I came back, I was about 16, 17 years old. And I had a real hard time fitting in with people here at Edgemont Bible Church. And evidently, for about maybe a couple months, it showed. And Chris saw that. And he wrote me a letter that I have today that changed me forever. He said that he saw my fallen countenance, and he wanted to encourage me and lift me up in the name of Jesus Christ to walk and to always chase after the things of God, to not get distracted. To not get distracted with things of the world. And I've read that letter many, many times since then. And Chris has been a testimony and an older brother figure to me ever since then, for years. And I can't tell you another guy that I have not looked to in my age category more than Chris White. And I am so thankful for his testimony in choosing to submit himself to his family and his church and his wife and his children. Because he is modeling Jesus Christ for me. modeled Jesus Christ for each one of us. I want to be like that. I know there's a lot of us here that want to be like that, that want to be like Jesus, just like Ephesians 5:1 says, to be imitators of God. And Chris chose that. Thank you.
My wife and I have known the Whites since he moved up here back in 81, I believe it was. And back then it was just Christopher and Amanda, and we've seen your family grow. And I want to tell you, if you have not known the White family, you are not blessed. Let me repeat that. If you have known the White family, you've been blessed. Christopher had a heart for worship, and I'll share with you how I know that. When we would practice for our praise team, we'd all be here. We had kind of a standing joke, and I was kind of the focus of that joke. The joke was, you know, what do you call a guy that hangs out with a bunch of musicians? A drummer. Okay? And I felt that because when we'd be practicing, you know, Ron and Jeff and Kelly and Christy and Chris, they'd all be talking this music language, you know, the A's and let's play this in G and minors and all that. And I'm just sitting back there going, what are you talking about? I just play drums, okay? But what we did is so important to Chris, because we would have a set of songs, maybe five songs that we would play during the Sunday morning. And we would have an order to go by. So we'd be practicing on Thursday nights, and Chris would go, that doesn't sound like a second song. Let's move that song up, you know, to be the first song and the third song. And I'm like, what difference does it make? But he learned from his dad that funnel of bringing, your service begins with praise, you know, you worship God and creation and whatnot, and you have to bring that down to focus directly on him. And I think that it's special that Chris thought that, because I think we as dads, we want our sons to be like us. And I think Chris was like that. And he learned that from his dad. He had a heart of worship. And I can't fathom the worship he's having right now. Now, we're told to live by faith, we live by faith, not by sight. Not Chris. He's living by sight. He doesn't need that faith because he's right there. He's right with him. And I know on the authority of what the Word of God says, as believers, we will, not maybe, but we will see Chris again. We will. Can't wait for that day. Love you, sweet.
Kelly, thanks for giving us an opportunity to talk. I just want to say, look around. Look at all of us that are here. Chris had an impact on our life. And I only pray that when the Lord calls me home, that I will have that kind of impact on people's lives. And I think we all should think about that. Chris was very special. And I just thank God for the time that I had to get to know him and the privilege it was to rub shoulders with him. And I'm grateful for that. And again, thanks, Kelly, for letting us have the opportunity to say some things. But he impacted all of us. And may God have give us that type of opportunity to impact others like Chris did.
Hi, I am Diane. I am Kelly's mother. And my biggest memory of Chris, and I have a few, is when he asked permission to marry her, which is something that doesn't really happen much anymore. But we were going to let him marry her anyway, but I asked him what he would do if I said no, and he smiled and said, I'd pray a lot and change your mind. But he told me that he would never stop loving her. He would do everything he could possibly do to make her happy. He would keep God in the middle of their lives. and close. He would keep her close to God, and he was the perfect son-in-law. I can't think of anything bad to say about him, if this was that time. And he was such a good son-in-law that I actually talked to him jokingly the last time that I was with him about him talking to his dad and seeing if maybe we could arrange a marriage between my second daughter and Josh. I loved him. He was absolutely amazing. Thank you.
Anybody else? Because we're about to show a slideshow that no one's going to be able to talk afterwards. Okay, guys.
One thing I remember while we were watching that video is during praise team practice, if Chris was there, it took twice as long because he was always playing something we weren't. It didn't matter if all of us were playing something, he'd be jamming. And if he was playing the same thing that we were, he's going to play it like it was bluegrass, no matter what. So we're going to sing, and everybody sing with us, All Fly Away. I want to play it bluegrass style for Chris.
Bye. praise the Lord. I want to say our family is totally moved by all of you. Thank you so much for being here. It's an amazing thing. We didn't know what kind of influence he was having any place. I appreciate all of you for being here today. I'm going to do two things that I don't normally do today. One, I am not wearing a suit. Someone asked me once, do you wear a tie to sleep in? I said, not a real one. It's painted on. Well, our son didn't know anything about ties. He wore them when we said, you will wear a tie. Outside of that, he showed up to church in flip-flops, shorts, and a button-down shirt. Now, that was formal. The young man loved outdoors. He wore his flip-flops until the snow was deep enough that it just wasn't appropriate anymore. The second thing is, I'm going to read most of what I have to say. I want to make sure I get it all in. I don't forget some. I know Edgemont people saying, why don't you do that for us all the time? Well, we'll see. There are two great commandments. Love God with your whole heart. Love your neighbors yourself. Jesus said, if you do this, you fulfill the whole law. This world will be a great place if that's exactly what we all practice. Every human on earth is required to follow these commandments. The second one, love your neighbor, comes a little easier as we pick and choose those we believe are our neighbors. The first one's a lot harder, since we're coming into this world loving ourselves more than any other thing in this world. We somehow get convinced of our divinity and think that we owe no one our allegiance or trust other than ourselves. Life is the battle we have with God for the rights to divinity. What he wants from us is an open, loving, trusting relationship with our Creator, who provides everything, every one of us, every need, every day. One of Christopher's favorite verses that he adopted as the way to live before God and to love him contained these words, walk worthy. Those were important enough to him that he was going to have them tattooed one word on each arm. Walk worthy. The verse actually said to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In the summer, fall, and winter months of 1974 and 75, God began doing an oft-repeated miracle. He knit a man-made child, a man-child, in the womb of a young woman in Branson, Missouri. God takes great delight in this creative work, knitting bodies in people, giving it personality, talents, skills, a living spirit into, and a set a number of days known only to Him. Can you see the delight in God as He makes each one of you? Makes each one of you the way that you are, puts your personality in there and determines what you're going to look like, what you're going to be like, the things you're going to enjoy. Yours to use. He put them there. But there's also a certain number of days. He said, all the days of my life were numbered by you. He would bring that child into the air-breathing world of his creation and put him on loan to my wife, Shara, and I. Like most young parents, we were delighted with this little chubby guy. And he was chubby. He came in this world at 8 pounds and 4 ounces. And a month later, he weighed 12 pounds. The doctor said, what are you doing? Put that boy on a diet. He said to Char, how do you get that big? She said, when I hear him cry, I feed him. He said, babies can't run. Babies can't do anything but cry. You over-caloried the boy. He had to burn it off. And every time he burned it off, you put new ones in. Our faith in Christ led us to name him Christopher. That's from two Greek words that mean the bearer of Christ. With this name, we would project our desired future for him, a man who would bear Christ in this world. Christ is the only hope of mankind. And we wanted to have our son be someone who would take Christ to people. Would it be a missionary, a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist? With his stocky build and his happy face, he won a lot of hearts. I remember one time I was carrying him on my back. We came back in the house and I thought that we were close enough to the ground, and we weren't. He just slipped right off and it fractured his leg. So they put a cast on it. And somebody at church said, "How'd your boy break his leg?" And I said, "Oh, I pounded him with a hammer." And I just laughed, you know. So I took him to the grocery store, that little cast hanging out the shopping cart. An old lady went by and said, "Oh, little boy, how'd you break your leg?" He said, "My daddy busted me with a hammer." I learned after that, just shut up. Don't say a lot. He was a Lego master builder, a Hot Wheels collector. He had an imagination developing. He was fascinated with music. He had a love for sports, playing, tricking, hiding, anything fun with a good element of excitement or danger in it. That was Christopher. God was developing him into a man who would be used to reveal God's love to many people. School and Christopher were ready opponents. His kindergarten teacher, after a mere 6 weeks of school, counseled us that it might be better to let him stay at home for another couple of years until he was played out. Christopher never played out. School and Christopher finally called it a draw, and he graduated from Brian Christian School, completing his last place pace only hours before graduation. But while in school, he was seen as a good friend, great basketball player, and a big brother to a number of his classmates. His aversion to school was not an aversion to learning, though. It just wasn't his way of learning. Let him watch something and he could duplicate it. Give him a lesson with his hands and it was his. So God provided him with a fantastic, patient mother. Char, I appreciate you so much. That stick to the text. Two tremendous grandfathers who showed him unconditional or their skills and gave him goals to shoot at. Grandmothers to show him unconditional love. Adopted grandparents in the Bozemans to love him and show him of the variety of life only a grandparent could. He gave him aunts to dote over him and surround him like with confidence. He gave him uncles who taught him to laugh, play tricks on people. Love the outdoors, hunt, fish, play guitar, and be a man. Friends to be with. He gave him men like Lucky Wagner, Bruce Douglas, Chuck Wood, and Randy Botterford, who took him under their wing to teach him to hone those skills he was learning. Activities to challenge his skills, and men in the church who challenged him to be a godly man. In these learning experiences, Christopher placed his trust in Christ Jesus the Lord to save his life. Christopher was walking worthy of the calling God had given him as the man he created him in the womb of his mother. But the training was not yet complete. In the battle for sanity, God takes us through his university. It is filled with ample experiences to show us we are not divine and not in control of much of anything. Until a man or a woman hits their crisis of faith when they finally surrender their helpless humanity to the almighty, life-affirming God who made them, they can never fulfill both the commandments our God has given to every single human being on this planet. They will never be able to complete a human being, be a complete human being as God created us to be. Christopher's crisis of faith began with his leaving home to join the army. God removed him from all the support team that kept him challenged to live a godly life and replaced him with men who, for the most part, thought they were little gods, playing out their lusts and desires. He did good in the battle for faith until God moved him to Germany. When he returned, he was confused and struggling with the divinity thing. A breaking point came, and he was not simply renewed in his faith, but saw it from a new, humble point of real trust. It isn't just something you acknowledge to be true. You trust him. You trust him. I tell you, at that point, he came alive. He had already been a good friend, but when this happened, his love opened up to new dimensions. His kindness was a gift from God, and he lived openly. Joy was deeper than ever before. Now he was learning to love God, his Father, with his whole being. In pursuit of his God, he went to Appalachian Bible College, where God continued to train him. His old opponent, school, was engaged again. But this time he had a strong ally in God. God gave him godly instructors and friends who took him beyond academics into life development, to being a real human being. There, he learned how to be a guide on the rivers, to climb rocks, to do other dangerous, dumb things. But he gave him such great friends to be with. There, he met Kelly, his wife, and his life flourished. He loved her and saw her as his true complement. She was someone he could talk with, laugh with, be spontaneous with, take risk with, love and enjoy, all the things that made him love living even more. Her contagious faith and enthusiasm for enjoying life only bolstered what he already had. God gave them fruit for their love and 5 very beautiful children. Her support and continuous faith gave him even more impetus to love God, love his family, love his neighbors, himself. She was his musical partner, and their love for it put them in the praise team at church. He was blooming. He struggled at times with what success was. He was not going to be a pastor. That wasn't how God wrapped him. An office would have choked his being. His office was the rocks, grass, trees, streams of water, the vast view of over a bluff with the ceiling of the sky above. His work was being with and enjoying people. His greatest strength that God had given him for sustaining his family was working with his hands. He found this verse that set him free there. And never again did he ask that question about what success was. The verse simply said, "That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." Now, all he wanted in life was to walk worthy of his calling as a man of God. He had a beautiful family. His employment was now providing for he and his family. He was on track, and he was intentional about living for Christ. Just Monday of this week, he was sharing with me so enthusiastically about his current study in the book of Isaiah on the greatness of God. He was living up to his name. He was bearing Christ to people with whom he came into contact by life and word where the occasion would permit it. Then the good shepherd he loved called his name last Wednesday, and he followed him joyfully into a new field. God had conceived him, formed him, and brought him into this world. He had been with him then, and he was with them in every struggle, joy, and circumstance of this life. Now on that day, the good shepherd was with him in his last day here, and he flew away. Our family loves to sing "I'll Fly Away." Every time our family got together, guitar pop out, and away we go. "We're going to sing, Christopher. How about I fly away? We did that last time. We're going to do it this time, too." I don't mind telling you, our family sounds pretty good when we sing together. And we have a great time at it. We were blessed as the Lord of heaven and earth, who delightfully formed him and guided him, loaned him to us. He always was God's. And if I can say this, so are your children. They're always God's. They're not yours. They're on loan to you. So that God can show you who you are, can show you who He is. Matter of fact, the things that you cherish so much are gifts from Him. They're on loan to you. They're not yours. Don't hold them so tight. Spend a lot more time loving people. Spend a lot more time speaking to them, talking to them, enjoying them. Spend a lot more time looking at the sky. It's kind of pretty. Spend a lot more time outdoors and take a walk. That boy could hike any place. If you saw his legs, he had plenty of legs to hike with. Okay, what's to be gained from this? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Look, it's just plain and simple. Every one of you here were knit in the wombs of your mother. You didn't choose who you're going to be with. You didn't choose who you were, what color your eyes were going to be. You didn't choose your hair. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose when you're going to be born. You chose none of that. He made it. And he laughed his way all the way through it. I like this one. How about a nose like this? How about a little flippy out of ears? Or how about this one just lays flat? The same way he colored all the fish of the sea, so he made every one of you in the variety that you are. You have always belonged to him. And all he wants is a loving relationship back. And he did that through Jesus Christ. Christ died for us so that that relationship could be established. He rose again from the dead for us so we could have eternal life. Further, each of us has an undetermined number of days. We don't know what they are or when they end. Some have said that we were cheated. I sure understand, and I felt that myself. I can tell you, Thursday morning, it was hard to feel anything but cheated. But then it got my mind back. When you get past the insanity and you come back to the sanity that you are a created thing by a created God who loves you and who cares for you and who takes care of you even when you don't love Him or like Him. And I realized I was there at the moment of His birth. I watched Him come into this world. I heard Him say His first word. Yeah! 3:22 in the morning on the third month, the 22nd day, the little boy came into the world. And I'm going to tell you this. There was no paperwork with him. There were no guarantees, no warranties, not a thing. Nothing that said, this boy is yours until... wasn't there at all. There was nothing that told us we would have many or few years with him. Without that, without a contract with God, without a God promising me something here, I cannot fault God for taking what He made and purchased to spend eternity with Him. Chris is laughing and enjoying himself, friends. He's seeing grandparents. He's seeing people who went on before us. He's enjoying Jesus. And he got that because Jesus is alive from the dead. You hear me what I'm saying? This is not some religious mumbo-jumbo I'm giving you. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's the only one that knows what this is. He conquered it all, friends. He conquered it all. And I will not fault him for taking back the thing that he made in the first place. Hallelujah. Our lives are not the sum of all of our days, but what we do in those days. God made us for a relationship with him. We're all about relationships. He's all about relationships. It's about that. It is the only way to be a truly fulfilled person. And I tell you, God is calling you. He calls you, even commands you, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. If you choose to surrender your false divinity and humbly accept His benevolent rule in your life, you have a relationship with Him now and forever. If you choose to keep your false sense of divinity in being your own God and live in a complete relationship with Him, an incomplete relationship with Him, He will give you your wish for eternity too. You wanted to live without Him now. You'll live without Him then. But the choice is a final one, and there's no offer to change it later. Another thing I saw, do not compare yourself to anyone else. Living worthy of the calling that God gave you means this. You were wrapped a certain way, and you're not to be compared with anybody else. That's what they have to answer for. All you have to answer for is you and how you lived it out. Teach your children using the way God has made them. If we'd understood early on that Christopher learned things better with hands-on, we might have let him play it a little longer. And he could have learned a whole lot of really neat things. As Mandy has said, you're indestructible until God has finished the work of giving you life and relationship. When the days He's already appointed are done, you can't do anything to change it. Some blame motorcycle riding for his death. That's not the case. God was ready to have him home, and the vessel or circumstance for doing that was not going to matter. I appreciate all of you and all of you being here. And I appreciate all the great things that you have said, the wonderful things you have told us. We appreciate that so very, very much. It was a special life on loan to us. And we were glad to get to share him with you. I've asked my brother Hal Santos, pastor of Grace Church, if he would come and have a final word of prayer with us. So, Hal, would you do that for me? I've appreciated this brother for the, 30 years, whatever we've known each other. Every place I go, I take Hal because he protects me.
That's because he's a wayside chapel and I'm a cathedral.
I understand that it's going to be it.
No, we have a flag presentation.
Oh, okay. And a final song. You want me to sing it? Okay. Let's pray. And before we do, I want to tell you what an honor to get to know this family over the last 30 years and being a part of Pam and I's life. I pastored a church across the street, and Pastor Doug pastors me. And it's really been a great relationship and a great romance of friendship and watching his kids grow up and the different hairstyles. And Char does not age, but Pastor Doug. Oh, I'm supposed to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of great sorrow, we have greater peace. We do, as a group of believers, pray for Kelly and the children that they'll continue to have peace. Mom and Dad to have peace. Sisters and brothers and extended family to have peace. God, we celebrate in peace because, as the tattoos say on our hearts, to walk worthy. God, we have peace because of missions trips. We've enjoyed hearing about a servant's heart, about a family, about life-giving, about filled with His Spirit. God, we thank you for peace, that nothing takes you by surprise. We thank you for peace, that there is great purpose greater than ours. We thank you for peace because we are indestructible when we're surrendered to Christ. Peace when we know you. Peace that you are in charge. So much peace that we realize that you're too wise to make a mistake. You're too powerful to fail, and you love us too much to hurt us. Peace that we will fly away. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. We leave here with a challenge of a young man who preached his own celebration service while he lived. And that is to be a Christ bearer. For all that we ask you, and we say in the name of Jesus, for us to experience a peace beyond anything or anyone or any world can give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we can sing and eat.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I loved but no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? Never for the world to know the glory of the King.